We pray. Heavenly Father, God of grace and glory, you have granted us another day of your mercy, your favor, and a blessing to be able to hear your word. Plant it deeply in our hearts, dear Lord, and may it produce an abundant crop, all and only to your glory. In Christ our Savior, amen. This past week at a pastoral symposium, Pastor Mark Paulstein delivered a paper for the pastors where he told us an interesting story. His friend, who was in first grade, suddenly discovered a terrible situation that none of the rest of the class had realized. He looked over across the room and he saw a little girl who had wet herself. She already was blushing with shame, almost tearing up, her head bowed down, bracing herself for the onslaught of criticism that her classmates were about to give her. The boy got up from his chair, walked toward her, and pretended to stumble, spilling his apple juice into her lap. The rest of the class instantly reacted and ran to the little girl, comforting her and turning their ridicule toward that clumsy boy. That joke of the day. That foolish fellow. Obviously, he did it out of love, but was it wise? Well, he saw a problem. Her problem. And instead of puffing himself up by ridiculing her, he found a solution, a plan to rescue her at his own expense. Who does that? Well, we know who has done that for you and for me. But is wisdom that really puts the other person's needs before our own, is that really the kind of wisdom that we want to have in our lives? Our answer depends on where we get our wisdom from. Former President Bush, in his speech a couple weeks ago, said that, "In the weeks and months following 9/11 attacks, I was proud to lead amazing, resilient, and united people. When it comes to the unity of America, those days seem distant from our own. A malign force seems at work in our common life that turns every disagreement into an argument, and every argument into a clash of cultures. So much of our politics has become a naked appeal to anger, fear, and resentment that leaves us worried about our nation and our future together. America has a lot of hot-button issues which call for great wisdom, but not a wisdom that leads to disorder and evil. America has become a battlefield with deep trenches everywhere, wise and all-knowing experts throwing grenades at fellow Americans who have become their enemies simply by disagreeing with them. How's that wisdom working for us? A world of disagreeable experts have so much to argue about. COVID, vaccines, mandates, the southern border, Afghanistan, Congress's spending bill, election reform, increased number of people on the Supreme Court, defunding the police, storming the Capitol, socialism for America. Is the wisdom of our favorite politician and of our side of any debate working well for us? Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it with a good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you, however, harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Does that sound like America to you? A ship of fools adrift on an ocean of lies. The Apostle Paul, in a very transparent moment, confessed, "I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my sinful nature." Can we admit the same thing? Nothing good, nothing wise dwells in our sinful natures. Perhaps we despise selfish fools because we see that same selfish foolishness dwelling inside of us. Paul writes to the Galatians, "For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping one commandment: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other." How are our marriages and families after being cooped up with COVID? Earthly wisdom brings envy, selfish ambition, and arguing, which gives birth to rage and anger, resentment, broken hearts, and life of lies, every form of evil. There are so many things for each one of us to fight about. Are we the wise ones with a monopoly on the truth? Does our wisdom show itself with cursing and swearing and tearing down our enemies and twisting the truth to serve our purposes? How's that wisdom working for us? Heavenly wisdom is seen in how we speak the truth in love, how we sacrifice for others, and how we in humility treat others with respect, even when in our mind they are wrong. God frustrates the wisdom of this world and shows just how much we need a Savior. Jesus came to this planet with a wisdom far beyond our world. Paul wrote to the Colossians, "In Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form." That means 100% of everything that is the essence and being of God is in Christ Jesus, who is also 100% a human being. The psalmist, however, describes Jesus as on the cross as, "But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people." What happened between those two verses? God gave everything. God gave himself. God died for us. Jesus didn't spill his apple juice. He spilled his blood in order to save us. But was that wise? The educated elite who stood under his cross ridiculed him. And today, 2,000 years later, oh, the enlightened world laughs at Jesus and asks, "Hey, how's that wisdom working for you, Jesus?" It is marvelous to sit back and see what Jesus' wisdom has worked for us. Jesus, who is heavenly wisdom in human flesh, walked through a world of fools, people made foolish, not by their low IQ, by their evil, wicked hearts. Remember Jesus' conversation with the woman at the well? Jesus waited around the well for this Samaritan woman to come, an enemy of the Jewish state, who mistakenly thought that only part of the Old Testament was really God's word, who had 5 failed marriages and was now living with her boyfriend outside of marriage. The Samaritan woman was suffering from a foolish train wreck of a life. How was her earthly wisdom working for her? Jesus, however, wasn't at the well to condemn her. He could have judged her from his throne on high. No, in wisdom, he asked her for a drink of water so that he could give her a drink of living water. But wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Jesus came to this woman in peace in order to give her peace. He was considerate to a woman who didn't deserve his consideration, humbly approaching her as though she were an equal with him, mercifully looking out for what was best for her, which was himself, his mercy, his blood. Jesus was impartial, not treating her as her sins deserve. He did it all for her. He does it all for us. Are we not this woman at the well? We suffer heartbreak and frustration due to our own earthly sinful wisdom. Jesus, in humility, has come to give us his living water, his salvation, wisdom from a different world. Paul writes to the Philippians, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance of a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." What? Value others above ourselves? The same mindset as Jesus Christ? The very nature of a servant? Obedient to death? Is this the heavenly wisdom? It certainly isn't the wisdom of this world. How did that wisdom work for Jesus? Brilliantly. God came up with a plan to rescue us at his own expense. God sacrificed his holy Son for us, wicked sinners, all so that we might be the children of God. What a master plan. Jesus came to fulfill his heavenly Father's purposes, not to gain the world's praise. Will Jesus ultimately be praised by everyone? Paul told the Philippians, "Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." How's that for wisdom? Is Jesus' wisdom, however, a good fit for our lives? When Jesus' disciples were arguing about who would be the greatest in his new world order, Jesus had a little child, maybe like this first grader, stand in front of them, a lowly, common, unskilled child who would never receive praise for what he had done, ignored by most of the world, but noticed by Jesus. And he told the disciples, if you accept him in my name, welcome him, you're welcoming the Father. The Father whose eye is always upon this child. The Son who bled and died for this child's soul. The God who protects and preserves this child in every step. As you accept him, you are welcoming the Father who feeds and protects him. Matthew adds a little more to the conversation. He records that Jesus said that you are to be like this child. This child whom the Holy Spirit has given faith and, yes, even wisdom to help a girl in her distress at his own expense. You are to become like this child. Jesus tells us to become like this child. Through faith, we are born again into the image of our Creator. Do we display the image of Jesus throughout this world? Is that what our families and friends and co-workers know about us? Pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Maybe we have a ways to grow to become like this little child. Maybe we need more time in studying Scripture that God's Word might transform our hearts and our minds to be like His. Sin is always foolish, and the faith-filled life is always wise. Will people around us respect us more for having heavenly wisdom? How could a fallen, sinful world appreciate heavenly wisdom? But we ask ourselves, how is that wisdom of the world working for us? How is Jesus' wisdom working for us? God promises us peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Jesus, give us that wisdom from heaven through your holy word. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Heavenly Father, you who have given your light and placed it in our hearts and lives to believe in you, so fill us with your wisdom divine, dear Lord, that we might see all people as your precious blood-bought souls. Bless us that we might bring your grace, your favor, your love to them through our thoughts, words, and actions. Use us, dear Lord, as instruments of your light divine. In Christ our Savior, we pray. Amen.